We did not tape last Sunday's message on dying to self, and I thought it would be profitable for us to review it again. It's something that we need to do daily. And so a review of dying to self will help all of us to see the significance of what dying to self means, because we live in a time when all of us struggle with relationships. And dying to self helps us in our relationships with the lost as well as with the saved. Because we're talking about a dead person. We're talking about somebody who does not respond to what we hear or what we see or what we smell or what we touch. A dead man has no senses. And if we're dead to self, we're obviously not going to let our own desires, our own plans, our own purposes interfere with what God is doing, wants to do with our life. I was talking to Paul this morning, and I don't have him in the notes, and we'll get to John 12 here in just a minute, but I was talking to Paul, and I was referring to him, or telling him, that the dead can hear, but he can only hear one person, the Lord Jesus. When Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth," did Lazarus hear him? He sure did. And he came forth. And when the Lord comes to take the brethren with him, with the brethren that are not only dead in the grave, but dead to self here on the earth, will he hear that trumpet sound? Absolutely. And so the dead can hear, but they can only hear one person, and we don't want to be listening to ourselves. But anyway, let's look at John 12, 24 through 27. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life for the age," that is the millennial age. "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause I came unto this hour." This passage is talking about dying to self. And if we don't die to self, we're going to be an awful lonely person. Another thing too about dying to self has to do with fruit bearing, being profitable, not only to the Lord, but to others as well. The fruit of the vine is a blessing to many people. And the fruit of the vine, of course, is the wine. And we find that in Judges 9:13, where it says, "The vine said unto them, Should I leave my wine that cheereth God and man to be promoted over the trees? No." But anyway, this passage of Scripture is talking about dying to self and bringing forth fruit. Remember, Jesus took the kingdom away from the nation of Israel because they wouldn't produce the fruits thereof. And you and I want to share in the coming kingdom. We want to rule and reign with Christ. Therefore, it is important for us to bear fruit. And in verse 24, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. And if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." I was thinking about abiding alone. Made me think about John 15, verse 4. "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself." Abiding in him is not to abide alone. When we're abiding in him, we're having fellowship with him. We're not alone. And it cannot bear, and of course the branch cannot bear fruit of itself alone, except it abide in the vine. We have to be in the vine. We have to be allowing the vine to affect our life. It's the vine that provides the sustenance that allows us to produce the fruit, to be a blessing not only to God but to others. No more can ye except ye abide in me. And the word abide is in the present tense. It's a continuous thing. It's not something, it's not an event that you're in, put into the vine. And it says, and he that abideth in me, verse 5, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, that is present tense, and I in him the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And if we're without him, we're alone. And this passage of Scripture is encouraging us to bear much fruit. Why? Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. Disciples are fruit bearers. Disciples are a blessing, not only to God, but to others as well. And when you're discipling others, you're being a blessing to them. And we're glorifying the Father. So, what is the significance of dying to self? It means that we are abiding in Christ. We're abiding in the vine, knowing that without Christ, we can do nothing. Now, in John 12:25, it says, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life for the age. This is talking about the millennium. What does it mean to hate our life? Well, we're to hate our life now. Well, we're not to hate our lives in the sense that we're going to take our life by committing suicide. This is hating our life in the sense that we don't want to do what we want to do. We want to do what God wants to do for us. This word hate is a very strong term. Our desire to do the will of the Father should be very strong as well. We should dislike our own plans and purposes. I have made choices in my life that were not very good ones. And if we depend upon our own strategy, our own wisdom, our own thoughts, we're going to make mistakes. And we want to allow God to make choices for us. And it may look like a mistake, but let me tell you, in the end, it won't be. It won't be. So we need to deny ourselves. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 27, talks about denying ourselves. That's what it means to hate our life. It means to deny ourselves. Deny ourselves that extra piece of pie. You know, things that we like. That's what we're talking about. Okay? Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. In Luke's account tells us that we are to do this daily and follow me. We're not just simply to deny ourselves, but we're to also follow the Lord as well. There are two things involved here. And by the way, these are disciples. These are ones who are following the Lord. These are the ones who are learning from the Lord. And he's telling them to deny themselves. Now, to deny ourselves, or to not deny ourselves, is to gain the whole world. There are people today that have desired to rule the world. And they didn't deny themselves. Dictators today don't deny themselves. They want all the authority. They want all the perks that go with it as well. We think about communism. Everybody is supposed to have equal, but you know what? Not everybody had equal. There were some there that were more equal than others, right? They lived in plush places, and they had more food than they could eat, you know? So they didn't deny themselves. Verse 26, for what is the profit of man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own life? His own soul. The word soul and life, it's translated either way. And what shall a man give in exchange for his life? In other words, you can't pay for it. Dying to self is a self-discipline. It's a self-discipline that I can't pay someone to do. I paid somebody to paint the house. or not the house, but our kitchen and bathroom and breakfast room, because I just didn't have the equipment. I don't have the wherewithal physically anymore to really do a good job doing that, particularly with my back. And so I paid somebody to do it. But you know what? You can't pay anybody to die for yourself. You can't pay anybody to so that you can deny yourself. In other words, no one can deny themselves for you, and vice versa. Now, self-denial is rewarded. In verse 27, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father and with His angels, and He shall reward every man according to his works." You lived a life of denying yourself, you're going to be honored and rewarded for that. You're going to like the outcome. You may not have everything that some of the richest people in the world have today, but in that age to come, you're going to like what you're going to have when those that have money and have everything today, they have their reward. Can you imagine having a reward that only lasts 70 years? I'd rather have one that lasts 1,000 plus. You know, who knows exactly what the blessings are going to be like after the millennium. But the point is this, dying to self is going to be rewarded and honored. If you honor God with your life, He's not going to forget you in the age to come. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, we are told that those who deny themselves, what is their attitudes towards certain things? "Wherefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body than raiment?" If you're dead to self, you're not going to be thinking about life as such. In other words, we may be sick, and we may die because of what sickness we have. In other words, the Lord has said He will heal all of our diseases except the last one. Of course, He doesn't say that in the Scripture, but we know that that's a fact. He heals all of our diseases but the last one. We also know and appreciate the fact that our days are numbered. And if we live a life that is sane, our days will go to the time and then it will be over. That's the reason why we need to count our reckon our days and make the most of the days that God has given us. So we're not to be giving thought for our life. In fact, the Lord says, don't worry about a man who can kill you. You worry about a man, or worry about somebody who can kill you and cast you into Gehenna or cause you consequences because of the way you live. So I think one of the tests that we can use is, are we worried about what we're going to eat? Are we worried about what we're going to drink? Are we worried about our body? What we're going to put on? These are symptoms of not being dead to self. Okay? Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. "Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." If we're dead to self, we're not going to be worried about tomorrow. I can think of times that I've worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. And usually it was not as bad as I imagined. But if I'm dead to self, I'm not going to be worried about tomorrow. I'm going to be concerned about my walk with the Lord and how I'm obeying Him and how I'm following Him and my performance today with Him. Am I living in sin? If I am, I need to repent. If I'm being faithful, I need to continue in my faithfulness to the Lord. In other words, there are times when we do need to make adjustments in our lifestyle. I tell you, one thing that really messes up, and that's when you go on vacation and when you're living out of a suitcase, it really messes up your time of devotions and your prayer life But you know what? When you get back home, get back into the Word again, get back to reading again, get back in your prayer life again, and just don't let it linger. It's not that you don't have time to do it from time to time, and I'm not saying that I didn't pray every day and I didn't read my Bible every day, but I didn't do it at the same time, and it makes a difference in doing it that way. Another thing too is Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. The word careful means to be anxious. Anxiety. I think this is the reason why we need to die daily. And I don't know that it's just a daily thing. It could be a moment by moment, an hour by hour type thing of saying, God, I trust you to take care of this situation. I don't need to be anxious about this. I know you're going to take care of it. And so we, if we're being anxious, we're always uptight over things, then we are we're allowing the old man to become alive again. A dead man should be stay that way. Now, how can we do this? Well, I think Philippians 3:10 gives us a little insight into how we can do this. Paul says that I may know him. We need to know, we need to study about the Lord and how he handled life situations. There were times when he had to get away from the apostles. He had to get away from the disciples. He needed some time alone. One thing about dying to self, it's a personal battle. I've already alluded to this already. It's not something that I can do for you or you can do for me. Dying to self is a personal battle. And sometimes we just need to be by ourselves to deal with these things. Paul says that I may know him, and knowing him is to see his example and to follow his example. We need to know the power of his resurrection. Jesus Christ is our high priest. He's at the right hand of the Father. He is the one who gives us grace and strength and power for our infirmities. And we also need to appreciate the fellowship of his sufferings. Was Christ rejected? Was Christ offended? How did it affect him? It didn't cause him to quit. It did not cause him to want to not do the Father's will. And same thing for our own life. We're going to have sufferings. We need to be made conformable unto his death. And this is what he died to self as well. And when he died to self, he prayed, Abba, Father. Not my wills, but thine be done. A life of dying to self is a life of crying, Abba, Father. Not my will, Lord, but thine be done. And when we think about the power of his resurrection, I just wanted to include Ephesians 1, 19 through 20, where we need to know the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. Present active. What does it mean to believe in the present tense? It means faithfulness. We just don't know the power that's available to us if we're faithful to the Lord. Faithful in believing what he says. Faithful in believing that if we will die to self, he will take care of my life. He'll take care of my thirst. He will take care of my food. He will take care of my clothes. And I just don't, if you know, I think that if they lived in Minnesota, they would also include a house. I always think about that. I don't know if we can live in a cardboard box, or I don't know whether you can put on enough clothes when it's 30 or 40 below zero or a wind chill. I guess you can slip into a storefront, you know, and hide. But anyway, you don't have to worry about these things. The Lord knows what we have need of before we even ask him. So we need to know the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believing and confident in that believing, therefore we don't vary, we don't change. And it's according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Jesus Christ is our high priest. We have exceeding great power at the right hand of the Father. And the Father set him close by. Why? So that they could communicate about whom? You and me. because I'm coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord doesn't have to holler over across the room to God the Father. You follow what I mean? They are there together for what reason? That we might experience the power that we need to live a life that would honor and glorify Him. Now, in back to John chapter 12, it says, in verse 26, if any man will serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if a man serve me, him will my Father honor. So to follow, to die to self is to follow the Lord. And to follow the Lord means that we need to be listening to His voice. His voice we can hear. Of course, we can see Him too. But the point is following Him is through the reading of the Scriptures is basically how He leads us. But to die to self is to follow. To die to self is to be where the Lord is. To die to self is to serve. And it says, in Him will my Father honor. I think of the word honor as honor and glory in the coming kingdom, but I looked up further meaning of that word honor. It is to value. We're to honor our father and mother. That means to value our father and mother. Honor them is not to put them on a pedestal, but to honor them or to show them value by how you respond to them. But anyway, the Father will honor those who will follow the Lord and be where He is and serve Him. In John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. We need to be listening to His voice, present active. We know that He knows us, present active. And they that are listening and hearing His voice are the ones who are doing the following of Him. And I just thought about this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. He said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of live men. I don't know of any anglers that are out there trying to catch dead fish, do you? And when I think about that, I'm thinking about fishing for whom? For those who have ears to hear, eyes to see. There is a time of reaching out and finding those who do not know the Lord, but I'm just thinking about, I'll make you fishers of men. And when He sent the disciples out, who did He send them out to? He sent them out to the nation of Israel, the house of Israel. Now, Jesus denied Himself. It's interesting here in John 12:27. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? Do I need to say this? And obviously the answer is no. But for this cause came I unto this hour. In other words, He was doing the will of the Father Himself. He had died to self. And I alluded to the fact that living a Abba Father life is to submit to the will of the Father. In Mark chapter 14, verse 34 through 36, it says, and said unto them, Peter, James, and John, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, troubled. It's not translated trouble, but it has the same thought. Sorrowful is trouble unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Now let me just say this. There's nothing wrong with asking God to change your circumstances. There's nothing wrong with asking God to heal you. It's nothing wrong with asking God to take care of you. But we all must be willing to accept what God's plans and purposes are for us. When He says no, we need to thank Him for that and trust Him for the next step that He has for us. So there's nothing wrong with praying about your circumstances. That's not dying. I mean, that's not raising your ugly head in in defying yourself. But the point is this. If it would be possible for this hour to pass from him, no. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. This is the cause that I came into the world. When I think about all things are possible unto thee, how strongly do we believe that? You know, if we really believe that, then we know that he can take care of any circumstance in our life, even if it means crucifixion. And I know that Peter was crucified, and so the Lord didn't raise him in 3 days, but one day he will be raised from the grave, and he will be on where the glory is, just like he was when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. So, dying to self also implies confidence in God to make the right decision. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, we find some that are unfruitful. We were talking about those who fall into the ground and die to self. They become fruitful. They become profitable. And in Matthew chapter 13, verse 20, it says, He that receiveth seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. I think one of the things that we need to consider about being dead to self, how easily are we offended? How easily do others affect our lives? We often allow others to take priority in our life over the things of the Lord in our life. We will cancel anything that God has planned for us to do what? To accommodate our friends and our family often. So therefore we need to evaluate certain things. There are times when that we may miss church or whatever, or some event like this, because of family situations. I'm not saying we're not legalistic in this matter, but the point is this: what is the norm? How do we let others affect us when we're going to be in the services to worship, or when we're going to be where the Lord would have us to be, in service of Him? And so, we know that we can be offended. If we're dead to self, we're not easily offended. Matthew tells us in chapter 18, verse 7, he says, It must needs be that offenses come. One thing we know for sure is that we're going to be offended. Now, how are we going to react to that offense? Are we going to quit? Are we going to persevere and keep on? Psalms 119, 165. A lot of people quote this verse, but you know what? This verse doesn't mean anything if you're not dead to self. Great peace have they which love thy law, thy precepts, the word, and nothing shall offend them. You know the word? Let me tell you. You're not going to be offended very easily. And you're sure not going to change. You're sure not going to quit. In verse 22 of Matthew 13, it says, He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. There are many things that can cause us to become unfruitful. First of all, was being offended. Those who offend and quit because of trouble do not bear fruit. And it's the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches that choke the word and cause us to become unfruitful. But there are other things as well. Mark tells us in 4:19, the lust of other things enter in and choke the word. Desiring other things. And we become unfruitful. When I think about lust of other things, I think about the lust for power, the lust for recognition. The lust for, in the words of be promoted, we will compromise and become unfruitful so we can be promoted. Then verse Luke 8:14, the pleasures of this life can also cause us to bring no fruit unto perfection. But what are we to be? We're to be fruitful. In Matthew 13:23, he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it. Let me tell you, you can't understand the word of the kingdom. You can't understand without study. One of the things that we've been hearing on TV is that the British Open is being played, and the thing that I hear them saying is the golfers saying, "I've got a game plan, a game plan." Do we have a game plan in our walk with the Lord? And some of the commentators say, "Well, there you can see the pressure of the game has caused a flaw, a chink, or some mistake in his game plan," and that. And that can happen to us too. We can find ourselves in the rough or in a bunker, as they would say. You know, they call them tombs. Over there, they look like graves, is right. Anyway, but we need to understand and have a game plan. And we have a game plan. Whose plan is it? It's the Lord's plan. And if we are hearing the word and understanding it, then we're going to bear fruit. And we're going to glorify the Father in doing that. Now, how can we do that? Well, I want to conclude by looking at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. It says, "If you be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above." To be risen with Christ means you have had to have died to self. You can't be raised. I mean, we're not talking about the resurrection and living in heaven here. We're talking about a risen lifestyle now. If ye be risen for Christ, seek those things which are above. This is not talking about in the resurrection, because if you're raised in the resurrection, you don't need to seek anything above. You're amongst that which is above. You understand what I'm saying? So if you be risen with Christ, that is, if you have died to self and your life is a new life in Him, we need to seek those things which are above. That is, treasures above, positions of honor and glory in His coming kingdom, seeking the kingdom, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. This has to do with Him being our high priest, the power of the resurrection. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above and our high priest. Verse 2, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. In other words, our affections, our value system is heavenly, not earthly. I was listening to a testimony of a man dying with cancer. He was sitting in his study. He was a seminary student. And he said, "I was looking at all the books that I have in my library. He said, those books don't mean anything to me anymore." He looked at his golf clubs over in the corner. He said, "Those golf clubs don't have the meaning they used to have in my life now." And you know, when we are looking at heaven as being close, our perspective of earthly things change. A new car means nothing, particularly if you can't drive it, or you are not going to have it very long either. So, we need to set our affections on things above and not on things here on the earth. It says, "Ye have died." It's translated in verse 3, "For ye are dead," but it's actually aorist. "Ye have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God." The word "hid" here is an interesting word, in that it has to do with concealed by a covering. Your life is hid. It's concealed. Dying to self is a personal thing. It's something that you and the Lord are working on together, and it's a concealed thing. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, this concealed thing, or this hidden life, has to do with being crucified with Christ. In Galatians 2:19 and 20, I'll just read those two verses. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I read verse 19 because to be able to be crucified with Christ and to live by faith, you've got to experience verse 19. We talked about this last Sunday, didn't we? When it says, I through the law am dead to the law. I told you about driving down the interstate and seeing the state patrol officer pointing his radar gun at our car. And I saw him up there, no big deal. I'm dead to the law. You know why? Because I was obeying it. We're dead to the law if we're obeying it. If we are disobeying the law, you know what? Man, I put on the brake and and then when I get 10 or 15 miles down the road, I pick up my speed like I had it before. You ever thought about that? Sure. I've done that. Been there, done that. I should be far enough away from the law, it shouldn't affect me, but you know what? You're always looking in the rearview mirror, and you're watching the taillights of the people way down the road, see if they're stopping because they got caught. You know, you've got all kinds of little mechanisms, or if you got a little box you sit on the dash. But anyway, when you know the law and you obey the law, you're dead to it. It doesn't bother you. It doesn't affect you. Just like a pinch doesn't affect the dead man. When you're obedient to the law, you're just. And if you're just, then you can apply verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. I am dead to self. Nevertheless, we do live. Physically, we're alive. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I'm living the life that He lived because I have understood His life. I have known Him. And I'm applying His life into my life. And then it goes on to say, and I live by faith. And if you cannot live by faith if you're not just. Now, verse 4 tells us, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall appear with Him in glory. You live like this, you're going to be with Him in the glory of His coming kingdom. You're going to be ruling and reigning with Him. So what did Paul tell us to do? In Philippians 3:13 and 14, brethren, I count not myself to arrived or have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high or above calling of God in Christ Jesus. The dead have forgotten the past. We need to do the same thing. Did you know that we can let our past influence the way we live? We can live defeated lives. We made so many mistakes. We did so many things that were not pleasing to God or our family. Forget it. Don't forget it that you make the same mistake twice, okay? But the thing is, don't let it bog you down. Forget it and get on with life. And what do we need to be doing? We need to be seeking first the kingdom, present tense. And that kingdom is the above calling that God is going to have for those who are faithful. And His righteousness, which is by faith. And what will happen? All these things, everything that we wring our hands over and fret over and are afraid of, what will be taken care of? So we can live a life that is not sensitive to things around us, but only to His voice. We can live a life that we're not calling the shots, but we're allowing Him to call the shots and trust Him. May the Lord help us to do that. And you know what? We'll enjoy the kingdom much better. Father, I just pray that you would bless the message to each of our hearts and lives. And we pray, Lord, you'd help us not to fret over things that other people fret over, about food and clothing and shelter. Know, Lord, that if we work, we'll eat. If we don't work, we're lazy, and we don't deserve to eat. But Lord, we thank you that you will provide for us and that you'll care for us if we'll just honor you and your word. Help us, Lord, to bear fruit that we might glorify you, Father, and the Son. For it is in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.